Well, it's good to have another run at another year. Amen. Some of you didn't think you'd make this year. How long did it take you to break your New Year's resolutions last year? Did you continue going to the gym and your diet past February 15th? Don't raise your hand now. I have two resolutions this year that I probably will have no trouble at all keeping, and I can do them all the way through 2010. Would you like me to share them with you? I'm going to eat more and exercise less. That's number one. I'll be able to carry that thing all the way through. Exercise less, eat more. My second resolution for 2010 is I am going to dedicate one more hour a day to be off of my feet. Now, they probably won't do anything for me spiritually. They'll probably add something to my waistline and my cholesterol. But I'll be able to maintain my New Year's resolutions throughout the whole year. You agree? Some of you don't look like I'm going to do that. I am going to do that. I'm going to try to preach a message to you today out of the book of Philippians, if you'd like to find your place there. And as you find your place to the book of Philippians, I'd like to kind of put you in context of where the writer is. The writer is the Apostle Paul, written some 2,000 years ago from a Roman prison. And Paul, the author of the book, is chained to two Roman guards night and day. The only thing he gets to see is he gets to look out the window probably at the fellow sharpening his axe that in just a few days is going to chop his head off. He starts this chapter out in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I write the same things unto you. To me indeed is not grievous, but as few as safe. I'm looking at the guy going to chop my head off in just a day or two. Why don't we just rejoice in the Lord, he said. Rejoice in the Lord. And then down in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we vacate the old and we enter into the new, what better advice could we adhere to than that which was given 2,000 years ago by the inspiration of God? When he says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward those things and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I just believe with all of my heart today that we can make 2010 a lot better than 2009 was. Now, I'm not talking about politically. I'm not too worried about what's going on in Washington. I'm more concerned about what's going on in heaven. I'm not so worried about the next election. I'm looking forward to the King of Kings coming back. And you're not going to get to vote on that one. And you'll not impeach him. And you'll not get to Pelosi won't be able to do her deal, or Reid won't be able to do it, and Obama, and none of the rest of them, King Jesus will be in charge. I know who's running this boat. I know who's in charge. The Bible says that God has the kings in his hands and turns them about as he will. Everything is under control. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a job. Well, come down here. Jim will give you one. Now, there's no pay involved. It's just a lot of work. Seems like everybody wants money and not a job. Amen. But let me do this for you. I'm not going to try to impress you today as much as I'm going to try to help you. I want to give you four commitments, not resolution. A little difference in a resolution and a commitment. But I want to give you four commitments, I think, that will help you in 2010. And I'm not only going to preach to you, but I'm going to practice these myself throughout 2010. I think there's some commitments we can make that will help us a great deal, that will help us in our relationships, that will help us with God. Number one, let me give you the first commitment of 2010. Now, this is not yours. This is mine. I'm going to commit to do these four things this next year. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't have to do anything. You're perfect. Oh, you've been talking to my wife again? Now, preacher, you're called of God. You've been in this now for 40-some years. You've been preaching the Bible, studying the Bible, trying to walk with God, praying and trying to do what was right, trying to keep your testimony straight. Preacher, you shouldn't have to do these. No, these are four things I'm going to do. You can do them if you'd like. You can commit to what you like. But I just believe in my life, this would help me 2010. The first thing I'm going to do in 2010 is I am going to commit to give up. I am going to commit to forget all of my failures last year. I don't care what you do. You can mull them around in your heart. You say, well, I didn't fail. You just did. You failed to tell the truth. All of us in this place failed in some way last year miserably. We come short of the glory of God. We sinned, we made promises we did not keep. Over and over and over, these things haunt us if we do not let God take over. I don't care, some of you failed in marriage last year. You say, well, preacher, I didn't fail, the one I'm married to failed. You picked him. You failed. Maybe this year you plan on doing something different. You say, well, preacher, I have not failed. Let me tell you something. I just believe this next year, 2010, I am not going to allow my failures of last year, the year before, and the year before to haunt me into failing in 2010. I'm not going to do that. If I made a mistake with a credit card, I'm not going to do it this next year. How many of you made a resolution? This year, I'm going to get out of debt. And now you owe your soul to the company store. Another day older and deeper in debt. Right. How many of you? I'm just not going to allow 2009 to ruin 2010. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark. Notice all in this place have failed in some way. In 2010, I'm sure I failed many of you in my relationships with you. I'm sure of that. And I'll try to do better this next year. People have left our church. And if I don't blame them. I'd have left too if I was listening to me. I would have left too. I know there's been folks hurt. I know there's been folks misunderstand. I know there's been relationships that is severed and hurt and harmed. I realize that, but I am not going to let those things back yonder ruin today and ruin tomorrow. The best thing you can do, Paul said, if anybody had things to forget, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, after all, he had killed Christians. He had incarcerated Christians. He had persecuted the church. He was meaner than a junkyard dog. Every Christian that saw him coming down the street would run and hide. Paul said, I want to forget those things. They're before Christ. I am going to forget them. I'm not going to let them haunt me and ruin my tomorrow. Many of us sitting in this place today are, while we are sitting right where we are, allowing somebody or something from our past to haunt us and to ruin our today. The psychologist would prescribe it as hostility. Another one might depress and might diagnose it as depression. Do you realize the definition of depression? It is an internal temper tantrum. You are mad at everybody else in the world, but you're too good a Christian to hurt them, so you'll just hurt yourself with what you won't hurt anybody else with. And many of us right today are letting a daddy, a mama, a kid, a sibling, an employer, a past friend ruin today and tomorrow because you're not willing to forget. Booker T. Washington said, hating somebody is like burning down the house to get rid of rats. Your house on fire today? 2010, I flat out refuse. I refuse to let anybody or anything from 2009 or all the way back to ruin 2010, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, let me tell you something. We've all failed in certain ways in parenting. If you have kids and you have not whipped them when they should not have been whipped, and you didn't whip them when they should have been whipped, or if you don't whip them at all, you're in trouble. Well, they're just little angels. Yes, I know that. But why is it when they go to the supermarket with you, they grow a tail and little horns and knock every can of peas in the place out on the floor, and you like chasing the poodle through the place trying to catch your little angel? Every parent I know has fallen short and failed miserably as a parent. You live in a dysfunctional family. So why don't you just forget it and get on with it and do the best you can tomorrow, because you can't do anything about yesterday. Well, I raised my kids the best I could. Then get over it and get on with living and let God be their kids' mom and daddy now, and you just go ahead and serve God. And we've all failed miserably in our relationship and parenting and finances. Have you ever made any? By the way, did you make any investments in the market a few years ago? Now you can sing, my money's gone, gone, gone. We've made mistakes, have we not? Have we not made mistakes? We've got, absolutely. We have failed miserably. We failed in our Christian walk. We failed in our pursuits, as sure as the world. And I don't know anybody who has not failed. John R. Rice said, no matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless. No matter what you did in 2009, 2010 has no marks at all in it, man. You can take a run at it. Looking back in the past failures is different from past sins. Most New Year's resolutions go in one ear and right out the other. You'll get that after a while. The Bible said a just man fails seven times and does what? He gets up again. Is that right? Babe Ruth, did you know, was holds the record for many home runs. He hit more home runs than anybody in the world. But guess who struck out the most, too? Babe Ruth. Hey, you cannot. I was reading today, Winston Churchill said, success is the ability to move from one failure to the next. You know how you learn? You learn by failing. You know how you learn? You learn by just getting up and do it again. And you know what we need to do? We need to just absolutely get over. I just believe success is getting up just one more time than you fall down. Have you ever thought of that? Success is just getting up one more time than you fall down. You know, I like watching cowboys ride bulls. And I question their sanity. Or Bronx. It don't make no difference. Folks, that is not the safest place in the world. And I sit in my recliner as these cowboys get on these mean, stomping bulls that wants to eat your lunch. And I kick back in my recliner. I fasten my seatbelt and say, "Open the gate!" And there they go. I like being safe. You know, I just believe with all of my heart, if you'll just get up one more time, you'll be a success. Nobody is a failure who has not quit. You're not a failure till you have quit. I don't know if you know this or not, but most of these folks over here do. They go to the Joshua Christian Academy. I guess you know a fellow by the name of Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if you know this, but in 1831, he failed in business and went bankrupt. In 1833, he was back on his feet and went bankrupt again. In 1835, his fiancée died. In 36, had a nervous breakdown. In 38, ran for Speaker of the House and was defeated. In 43, ran for Congress and was defeated. In 48, ran for Congress and was defeated. In 55, he ran for Senate and was defeated. In 1856, ran for Vice President and was defeated. In 1858, he ran for Senate and was defeated. In 1860, ran for President, won, and became one of the best we've ever had. Forgetting the failures of the past, we press toward the mark. Now notice, I know you know this. Have you ever watched Nike commercials on television? I don't think Tiger will be watching today, but he might have been watching the commercials instead of. But a Nike commercial. Some years ago, a voice came over the television saying, "You ever notice that all them voices on television make them sound like God?" The voice says, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was called upon to make the game-winning shot, and I missed every one of them. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeeded." Michael Jordan. Success is getting up one more time than you get knocked down. And the great Apostle Paul said, as we enter in 2010, forget our failures in 2009. And reach toward the mark. So, I've decided, no matter how many times you remind me, I'm going to forget last year. Now, did you know that physiologically, psychologically, and biologically, where did all them big words come from? It is impossible to forget. I don't know much about a computer. I know how to pay for them. Don't know Brother Pickett. Brother Pickett knows how to buy them. I know the minute he walks in my office, I can tell by the look on his face. I can tell by the droop of his eyes. He's wanting me to buy another computer. And it's always a good deal. It's always on sale. Always got a rebate that I never see. But I have all the automation you can imagine. I've got an iPhone that I don't know how to turn on. If it ever turns off, I'll have to get somebody to help me turn it on. But they tell me that when you put something on your computer and it flashes on the screen, there is a button or avenue by which you can delete. Is that right? Is that right? All you computers, you folk don't know anything about it. Hey, kids. This crowd knows about automation. They know about gimmicks. On a computer, when you hit the delete button, what happens? It deletes off the screen, but not off the hard drive. That impress you, Doc? So once you put something on the computer, it's always on the hard drive. But they have built in the capacity to hit the delete button and you don't see it anymore. It's out of vision, but still on the hard drive. Dr. Penfield, a neurological surgeon in Canada, has discovered by the probing of the brain that if you electrically stimulate certain parts of the brain, it will activate certain portions of the body. And as you activate certain parts of the brain by electric shock, not only does it activate certain members, but you recall certain conversations that you've had back way yonder in the young years of your life. He says, once something has been put into the computer of the brain, it never, never, never disappears. It's always there. But Paul is saying, you probably will never be able to forget last year. So why don't you just hit the delete button? And it's not always on your mind and on your computer screen. Reminding you of what a miserable failure you were last year. So I've just decided I'm going to forget my failures next year. Now, I'm going to commit this year also. I'm going to commit myself to give up all the grudges I have against you folk. Go ahead and shake my hand, because I've got a few against you too. You don't know anybody that would hold a grudge, do you? You don't know anybody that walk around looking like somebody's spitting their post-ostis, do you? You don't know anybody who feels bad when they feel good for feel they feel worse when they feel better. You don't know anybody that would eat some gunpowder right before they come to church so they could blow up on the next one they shook hands with. You don't know anybody that's lost their smile, lost their enthusiasm, lost their desire to be a blessing to anybody else. They just want everybody to realize just how stinking miserable they are. In Jesus' name, of course. You don't know anybody that's letting the past assassinate the present. You don't know anybody like that, do you? You don't know anyone who would have an unforgiving spirit that leads to an unforgiving attitude that always surfaces in unforgiving actions. How many marriages you think are destroyed each day? People still living together, can't stand one another, hadn't spoken a kind word in months, and eats continually at McDonald's. How many folks, how many marriages you think today are subnormal because I just will not forgive? got them old dead cats stacked in every closet in the house. You know them dead cats. Remember when you did this? I ain't been this quiet since the last funeral I spoke at. I refuse. Listen to me. I refuse to carry a grudge against anybody in the world. You don't understand, preacher, what they've done. I don't care what they did. I know what it does to me if I don't forgive it. Look at what Colossians 3, verse 13 says. Forbearing one another. Sometimes that get difficult with you, forbearing me. Forbearing one another. Verse 13, Colossians 3. And forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Some of you guys need to go home and look at your wife and say, I am as sorry as the bottom side of a garbage can. I'm done with all this silent treatment, tight-jawed, long-faced, cold-forehead kind of Christianity. Let's just get right down here and ask God to forgive us both and get up with a brand new life and start all over again. Well, I don't love her. Oh, you wouldn't know love but run over you with both wheels. Amen. I'm not talking to the visitors now. I'm talking to folks that's been here a long time. How many families have been broken? And how many little boys and girls have been absolutely ruined? And how many friendships has gone awry? All because somebody just can't get over carrying a grudge. I read something in the book of Job. Listen now, listen real good. Listen right here. The Bible said, and another dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. Always mad, always sad, and when they die, miserable as a devil, deep in their soul, all because somebody hurts your little feelings and you can't get over it. I refuse to allow anybody in the world to push me to being miserable and out of touch with God. For not me, I'm enjoying it. I can tell that. Well, I just flat refuse to do that. I need to hurry. Why? What time's the game? Thank you, buddy. God bless you. That assured your place on the staff. Billy don't care. What time is the game, Billy? What? 3 o'clock? You hate to say that because you wanted me to get done with 12. I'd tell, but look. Here, let me give you this one. Number one. I'm going to commit my life this year. I'm going to commit to forgetting my failures. And I don't need you coming to the office reminding me. I don't need you sending me little notes and emails that I don't read. So if you send emails, let me tell you who's going to open them. Miss Sheila or my wife or Miss Mary. I'm not opening emails. If you send me a love letter, you better watch it. My wife will be the one that opens it. You say, why do you do that? I don't open emails. I don't Twitter. What else don't I do? It's Facebook. No, not on Facebook. No. I make it a lot, but I'm not on there. I'm discussed a lot on Facebook. Dear God, I'm out of space most of the time, but I don't do that. Don't do that. So, listen to me. I am not going to allow my failures last year to ruin 2010. Not going to do it. I've been here 24 years at this church. How long have I been here, wife? 24 years. I've been at this church 24 years. I can remember one mistake. I'm going to forget it. And that mistake was lying about the mistakes I've made. I've made so many mistakes. Billy, he's seen them a lot. But old Billy has never, not one time in all of these years, chairman of the board of the deacons, my good friend, not one time has he ever said, preacher, you're wrong. Brother Pickett's been here. He has to say I'm right. I sign his check. All these years, I've bought property that looked like was a mistake. And when I bought it for the wrong reason. Now you're having church on it. I bought property over these years that folks have said I was an idiot for paying so much for it. The property that you own right here. A good friend of mine, dear friend, he's in heaven today. I hope he's listening. He chewed me out from one end to another one time and told me just how crazy it was that I paid $17,500 an acre for this land that we're on right here. 7 acres. $17,500 an acre. Preacher, you are crazy. You are. And finally, his wife just said, you need to shut up. Give him some slack. And I left. The other day, I leased this property for $25,000 an acre for the gas. I hope he's watching. I hope he's listening. And if he's not, as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to show him the lease. Oh, I've made terrible, terrible mistakes. I've made mistakes over and over and over again. But I haven't made the biggest mistake of all. And that of doing nothing.
Amen.
That's the biggest mistake that you and I will ever make. And that not of trying. I'd rather shoot at something and miss it and shoot at nothing and hit it. I refuse. I'm forgiven. I am committing all of these grudges, all these hurts, everything you've said, everything you've done, the innuendos, everything you haven't done, it's gone. Thirdly, I'm going to commit to reconcile relationships. I'll be visiting a lot of folk that you wouldn't want me to visit, but I'm going to visit them. I'm going to step up to the plate. And I'm going to try to conjure up in my heart the roughest words that seems comes to Christians. Those are the words, I'm sorry. I failed. Would you please forgive me? Would that help around your place? I'm sorry. Isn't it awful hard to say that to those who's closest to us? We'll say it to a policeman when we run over his foot and he's given us a ticket. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I think those words would help a lot of us in 2010. I think there's some relationships that really needs to be reconciled. Really need to be worked on. Maybe a parent and a child, husband and wife, an employer, employee, friend. 2010 will be better for me. I'm going to fix my failures. Refuse to carry a grudge. I'm working diligently at reconciling friendships and relationships. By the way, that's what God wants us to do. I reading the other day, and this verse came to my mind. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible. I think we need to restore relationships regardless of whose fault it was. Well, if they apologize, wait a minute. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, quick tongues, and cutting remarks. Asking forgiveness from a brother who you've hurt, a mother who you've caused tremendous pain, a father, a friend. You can do what you want to in 2010. But I'm going to let 2009 ruin it. I'm going to commit to restoring relationships. And lastly, I'm done. And it's way before 3 o'clock. I'm going to commit myself afresh anew to the cause of Christ. Verse 12. I don't know of anybody more committed to Christ than the Apostle Paul. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am going to commit afresh and anew. Been saved for 45 years or 44 years. Preaching the gospel for 43 years. Pastored the same church for 24 years. I'm going to commit afresh and anew to His cause.